Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today we have the international bestseller author, Lauren Pauley, with us. Her book is The Other Side of Bipolar, and she shares her own journey to help others find the life they desire without limitations. Lauren is a catalyst for people who are living their life on autopilot. She helps others shift from surviving to thriving through dynamic healing, self-empowerment, and life-changing tools in her cutting-edge classes and one-on-one coaching. She hosts a weekly radio show called Beyond Speech, Limitless Communication, and is a certified Access Conscious Facilitator, certified Talk to the Entities Facilitator, an ASHA certified Medical Speech Language Pathologist, and is registered yoga instructor as well. So many talents. Lauren has shown thousands of people around the world how to engage boldly with themselves to create the life they desire. Lauren, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to dig into this with you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm so thrilled to be able to introduce the amazing work that you're doing and contributing to the world with everyone listening. So tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and your purpose in life.
I think it was much more of an inner journey that I took on to myself. I was diagnosed with bipolar when I was 14. And through the years of like Western medical system and then kind of playing with alternative modalities, there was just always this sparkle of possibility where I knew there was something greater. I really wasn't willing to settle for what the medical system said my life would be. You know, when you're diagnosed with something, you're kind of given a future prediction of your life based off of your medical condition. And that just wasn't enough for me. I really pushed myself and really under the tutelage of my parents, especially during my teen years, explored until I found things that actually served my entire well-being. And I was just really blessed along the way to meet creators, holistic doctors, just people who looked at the diagnosis and me differently, who were willing to give me information and lead me kind of beyond what was given to me just as the one diagnosis. So my work really sprouts from that, is my own personal journey, everything I've learned and employed. And just because it was such a huge changing point for myself, I wanted that advanced information. So I have all these certifications because it was like, oh, I'm using this tool. It's really helping me. I want the advanced knowledge. So I'd go to all these teacher trainings primarily just because it served me, my life, and gave me a sense of well-being. And then from there, it was just a natural extension to facilitate it and gift it to other people.
Oh, that's phenomenal. So tell us a little bit about what that journey was like for you, if you could, particularly those that maybe have only experienced a traditional medicine approach.
Yes, my book actually walks it through over about a 25-year period. I was diagnosed when I was 14, and this was back in the 90s, so there really wasn't any kind of mention of holistic doctors or even like kind of different practices. Yoga wasn't big back then, meditation, energy work was like not heard of. It was all Medicaid, and then add in therapy just on the basic model. So I did that for about 6 years, heavy medication, and had a lot of horrible side effects with my body. Really, really just struggled day to day to manage. And luckily, when I was 20, I met a holistic psychiatrist. I had moved to Florida at that time and needed a new doctor, and his name literally just like popped off the page in the phone book. And he was the first person in 6 years to talk about diet and exercise and stress management, and really started opening the conversation of, you're in college now, it's not just about managing things, it's about creating your future. Like, what profession can we get you in that plays to your strengths? You know, let's look at your relationships and make sure that they're sound and healthy and can grow. It was such a different conversation for me. And from there, kind of taking his tutelage and moving forward, I just kept pushing the envelope. So that really helped. I was able to reduce a lot of my medications and was more healthy and happy and got into graduate school, which was very unexpected. And then from there, just pushing myself of like, wow, okay, if I add yoga here, what would that change? Wow, that changed so much. I wonder, meditation now seems really cool. That may quiet my mind a bit more. And then I ran into the tools of access consciousness from another energy psychologist I was working with, and that really started to hit the self-judgment that I was living in. And that is more of a system of practical tools you can use in the moment to start to change things in your life. So for me, it was always a question of, what can I add to the traditional approach? And when I did that, the traditional approach flipped itself on its ear, basically.
Wow. How exciting. It almost sounds as if it turned from a diagnosis to a journey of adventure, of new discovery.
Yeah, and beautiful, like, fun detective work, you know what I mean? And I think the detective work at first was much more of this, like, I can't quite get out of bed in the morning. Like, I'm not sure how to handle it. And there are a lot of people out there who are in the middle of really a lot of mental and emotional angst where just functioning is very difficult. So when I was there, that was much more the first step of, like, how can I, like, handle my life and just function day to day? And then from there, it was much more, cool, I've got that. Now how do I push the envelope and actually get into a sense of peace with myself? And then get into the place where I can create a life that makes me happy, and I can start to step into my capacities to give back to the world. So it's this beautiful kind of, like, trajectory that is open for everybody, no matter where you are. It's just, where can you take your first steps?
Oh, that's so fantastic and so empowering, truly empowering. So, Lauren, tell us a little bit about why you decided to start writing your story and when that happened.
So I started writing it about 2 years ago, and it was funny. I read another memoir about mental illness when I was 19, and I read the book, and I went, oh, I'm actually going to write a book someday. It was just kind of this little blip of, like, oh, that's going to happen, but it's just not for now. So I put that aside, and I kind of just got recently that everything that I've been doing in my life, just my own self-discovery, is really based off of that little blip of awareness of, there's going to be a book someday. What's required, me gaining the knowledge, the clarity to be able to put it in a book where it's invitational, people can get it and follow, not just follow with me, but, like, actually journey with me throughout this whole thing. And for me, like, the time came when I noticed more and more clients in my life coaching business showing up with emotional, mental angst, and every time I shared a story about my personal experience, was able to speak to them in a very real and practical way, because, hey, I've been there, I've done it, I get it. It was such a different space for us to be able to dive in deeper and then come out the other end, and that really catalyzed me. Wow, if I could actually write a book about this, how many more people could I touch? And there's just this bigger conversation that I think needs to occur of how we handle mental illness in this world, or any kind of mental angst that people are going through. You know, if we come about it from a more holistic perspective and actually look at what's really going on for people without judgment or the need to put them in a stigmatized box, there's much more possibilities available.
That's such a beautiful, beautiful perspective. Absolutely. So what inspires you to write, and did you have any challenges with getting inspired to write, or places where you got stuck?
Oh, goodness, yes. I would say most writers do. And for me, writing's always been a very innate thing. Again, it was one of the things that the doctors gave to me as a creative outlet. I've always been very, very creative, which a lot of people who kind of go down the path of madness, quote unquote, are. And I remember being 8 years old and taking my journal out to the garden and writing earth poetry and writing in my journal every day. That was just an innate thing. So writing was always something from the inside of myself, and it really served a greater purpose for me to get my words down. Writing the book was a little bit of a stopping point at first, because I'm like, I don't even know how to write a book. I know how to write, but how to actually write a book that is cohesive and beautiful and the reader could get. So I had spoke to a writing coach who said, take 30 events of your life, write those down, and then whatever one pops for you, just start to flush it out. And that's exactly what I did. My book is scenes from my life. They're chronologically laid out, but they're much more like a patchwork of scenes, of intensities, of the ups, of the downs, of the in-between. So you get this kind of feel of that undulating quality that life is, and is much more so for someone who has that bipolar diagnosis or a lot of just energetic awareness. And so that's kind of how I went about writing it, is not getting lost in the bigger thing of like, I'm writing a book, but breaking it down a little bit more.
That's fantastic. And what do you find are the greatest things that really unleash creativity in you? Are there things that really inspire you to want to write?
I'd say definitely outside in nature is one. And there's just such a different space being outside. So whenever I'm sitting in front of my laptop and I kind of get into, I would say, pushback or butting my head against a wall kind of thing where the words aren't coming easy, I usually go out for a walk. And there's something about being outside and just getting space and allowing my creation, my words, to kind of play with me and talk to me in that way. Giving something breathing room, I feel, is one of the most important things in the creative process, which is tricky if you're on a deadline. That's kind of the what I'm into right now, is I'm doing a lot of PR articles. I've written about 20 magazine articles for the book, and that's very different because that's like a two-week deadline. They give you a word count. You have a specific title. That's been a little bit more of a you have to come kind of now article, but there is such a thing. If you do give it a little bit of breathing room and give it what it's required to gestate almost, it just flows out much more easily for you. And a lot of times, I don't want to use the word better, but just in a different vein where it is more invitational, it's better put together. There's a little bit more of an authenticity to it if you're not forcing the words on the page, but allow them to come through you.
That's so wonderful. And it's so great that you shared that, because I sometimes share that I found that when I was younger, if I got into a mode where I was kind of stuck, I would throw more energy at it, work harder, you know, and eventually it did work. But I find now that I'm more inclined to step back and allow the space for creativity and clarity to enter and not be so concerned about deadlines and so forth. And it happens with so much more ease and grace than it did when I was younger, when I was trying to force everything.
Well, I think the force is so interesting in the creative process, because anytime we do force or push, we just basically, it's a stopping energy. So there's something about actually being very gentle and nurturing with your creations. And for me, you know, everything really in the world is an entity, which really is just a defined energy. And creations are that to me as well. They just haven't been brought into physical form yet. So these articles, the books that you're writing, all these things that are coming to call that want to come through you, they actually have a life force of their own. They're their own entity. For me, it's almost like a conversation like I would have with a person. If I was going to push and force them, that's not an invitational quality to have where they'd want to come and play with me easily. It creates the angst in our world. It's the same thing with these beautiful creations that we're working on. How can we be with them in a way that's invitational? It gives them reverence and also kind of that like spark of, if there is a deadline, hey, can you come here a little sooner than later?
What a lovely perspective that is. You know, I had a sense of what that means, but I've never heard it put so eloquently and so beautifully. It's just such a lovely way to think about creativity and being in a relationship with it.
Yeah, and how can you foster that relationship? That's kind of the really fun place to pay. You know, you can do that with yourself, your body, your inner world, your relationships, and this beautiful conversation of the creativity and the creative process, I think, adds a lot to that. Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. Just so beautiful. So any tips you have for people out there that are just embarking on writing maybe a memoir or something that's very close to them? Because, you know, this subject matter, it's very sensitive, and the book is amazing. But your willingness to share in such a complete way that you did, that's something I think some of us find hard from time to time to make happen.
Well, and there's just such a space of vulnerability. And if you actually read the book, it's extremely raw. I didn't sugarcoat anything, and it was really, you know, so much of mental health or mental illness is an inner thing where we hide it so well that no one really ever sees deep down. Even the psychologists who are like picking their way through your brain during therapy, sometimes even they're not giving access to that. I was really looking at how can I open it up to such a way where anyone who ever went through anything, those crazy thoughts that go through their head, that angst, the thing where they're wrong, the social anxiety around other people, really doesn't become a wrongness anymore. And that's the feedback I've been getting. People read it and go, I have never been able to speak to what I was going through in my adolescence, but what you just said, that was exactly what was going on in my mind. And I was always making myself wrong for it and thinking I was a little nuts. It's so helpful that know that I'm not alone and I'm not the only one who's going through that. And I've heard that from people who are diagnosed and also not diagnosed. There's just this thing that we do where we have those inner voices where we're looking for how we're wrong or how we're messed up in some way. Writing that way in such an open and visceral format, I really had to have an honest conversation with myself as to why I was writing the book. I think there are so many people who want to write a memoir and a very vulnerable one, but they still have a point of view that listen to my sad tale or listen to this thing. They're still trying to almost prove something, and the reader picks up on that. It's not this open invitation where, you know, the person reading it can actually take it in a very clean way and utilize whatever they're gifted from the novel. For me, that was kind of the bigger conversation before I went into it, is that I wasn't buying my story or had to tell my tale of woe for any reason for myself. It was much more this openness and offering of like, come on in, take whatever you require, and move forward with your life. And there was just such a different vulnerable space with that. And I think that would be the conversation if you're starting to work on a memoir, of asking that before you get going. And, you know, it's not that if you are still tied into your story, don't write. Maybe during the process of writing, you actually get to undo that for yourself. And then you go back and you edit and you change it a little bit, and it just has a different tone that people can relate to better.
You know, it is occurring to me just hearing you share that a number of people may really, you know, be encouraged by your book and by hearing you speak today about wanting to approach maybe what they're experiencing from a different level. But I think change is always hard, especially if it's something that you're dependent on, say from traditional medicine, you haven't sought out other sources. It can be really frightening. Can you share with those people that might be experiencing some fear of shifting and opening up to other possibilities, how your book or you may be able to help them?
Yeah, and I think that's the beautiful thing is, you know, there's always this confronting energy whenever we're about to step into something greater and something more. And so many of us think it's a fear, right? We get that kind of feeling in our belly, there's butterflies going. And so often that fear is actually excitement that's been misidentified. So when you do have those butterflies in your belly, just ask the question, okay, am I scared here? Or am I actually really excited for those possibilities? So that is like one beautiful trick to kind of flip the energy and have a little bit more kind of gusto to move forward. And I would say it doesn't have to be a massive leap. I think so often we think if we're going to change from a traditional approach to an alternative approach, or step into more creativity, or finally write the book, whatever that is, that big step in your life, we think we have to go full throttle and leave everything behind to be able to do so. I don't encourage that. I don't think that's the most expansive and gentler way to go about it. And that's not what my book was. My book was adding things constantly. It's an addition. Cool, I'm in traditional therapy here. What can I add? Maybe go to a yoga class. Take a meditation course. There's a beautiful modality called the access bars where you actually get to lay on a massage table and someone works on your mind. And as they do, it just erases the mind chatter and the over-efforting of the thought that kind of hounds you. That's one of my favorite modalities. There are all these things that you could just add into your care. And if you add it, you try it, if it sparks a path for you, amazing. Just keep going with that. And for me, whenever I was able to add in all these different techniques, I added it. It got to the point that the doctors were like, oh, you actually don't need as much medication because you're managing yourself beautifully. So they would taper. I was tapered off medication over 10 years. I got off completely 6 years ago. And, you know, voila, they actually ended up overturning the diagnosis of bipolar. So it's fascinating to look at, like, how much can you start to employ in your life and how much can you add to it that takes you more towards a holistic being. And, you know, us as beings on this planet, we're not linear. We're not one thing ever. So to approach a plan of care medically, professionally, mental health-wise, any of that, you're really doing yourself a disservice if you can actually develop in lots of varied ways. That really speaks to the innate kind of layered beings that we actually are.
Yeah, that's, again, so empowering and such a beautiful, beautiful premise. I just love that. So if you were looking at your book from the standpoint of the readership, what would you like people to take away from the experience of reading your book?
Oh, that hope is there. And I think that's kind of like the big picture for me is like there's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, whether you choose to move all the way towards it or just a step in that direction and miss 10 seconds, that's fine. That's beautiful. Even if it's just the acknowledgement of, okay, I'm still kind of locked up in myself, but I can perceive that little bit of a glimmer. I can see that sparkle. Amazing. Because as soon as that's in your world, that there's a different possibility and that there's a spark of hope, no matter how long it takes you to go through whatever it is you need to go through to move into greater possibilities, you will get there because that sparks in your world. And for me, that's really what this book is. It's undoing your judgment of yourself as being wrong, as being different, because so often different equals wrong instead of just being different in general. You know, so being able to walk with me through this whole journey as you go through it and as you go through the book, your wrongness gets undone along the way, you start to see things in a different light, and that hope starts to bud. And I'm not really invested in what you add, what of the, you know, like 10 to 20 modalities I talk about in the book you pick up on and actually utilize, just that you actually get the hope. And you start to go into the question of, am I really wrong? Or is there actually something really beautifully right about me that I'm not getting?
Oh, I love it. That's wonderful. And this is one of my favorite questions, and I really want to ask you, with all of this amazing work that you're doing and the ability to turn people's lives around and now a book that has gone international bestseller all over the world, if you were to look at the work that you're doing and the book that you're writing and probably the additional books that you'll be writing in the future, what would it look like if you were looking at it almost like a worldwide legacy? What would that be for you?
It just goes back to that hope again. There's such a beauty, and a beauty is just the best word that I can find for it. There's a sumptuous beauty that we be when we're not in judgment of ourselves, when we're gentle with ourselves, and really kind of really more of a relaxed state of being. And that permeates not just ourselves, our own inner world, but also our relationships, everyone that we come across on our day-to-day path. It bleeds out into our businesses. It bleeds into our creations. It also bleeds into the planet, too. So you being in that space, it just starts to change things in a massive way. And if I could look back at this whole life 500 years from now, it's like this book, this conversation changed the conversation for one, mental health, emotional angst, and wrongness of being, and really brought about a different way that people could have ease with being alive and being in this society and on this planet at this time.
And we've never needed it more than at the present time. And I love the idea of moving through it with ease. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, and that's really missing these days. Everywhere you look, there just seems to be fights and battles and killing and angst. And just if you start like really talking to people, and that's the beauty that I have with my business, is I actually get to dive into people's worlds and, wow, just the stuff people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, you know, just the busyness of daily life, and then you add into something like a judgment or a relationship issue on top of that, people's worlds can implode. So being able to, like, have that, the beauty of your being, but also that, like, sustainability and inner strength to persevere and move towards the hope, that's really, really required right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I love what you've done with your book and, again, the work that you're doing, because you're really allowing people to expand their life as opposed to contracting. And I think we live in a time where a lot of people are inclined to want to contract, and you're creating that possibility for hope, but also expansion. It's just so wonderful and so exciting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's so interesting to look at our evolution and just like our self-evolution. We should be ever expanding, just like the universe is ever expanding. But so often we try to make our life small so that we can control it or have some sense of safety. That actually locks you up more. You want to go more big. You want to expand. That actually brings more ease and more relaxedness into your world. It's the opposite of kind of what we've been taught to do, you know?
Yeah, it's almost counterintuitive, but you've done such a beautiful job of making it exciting and attractive, and I can't even tell you how fast time has gone by with you. It's been so wonderful to spend time with you. Do you have any closing thoughts for us?
Wherever you are right now, there is the hope to keep expanding and moving forward. And even if you're not in mental angst, like, that's fantastic. Could you just be asking, you know, yay for you, but could you be asking for a bigger life? And for me, that's the edge that I'm at now, is there's not really an angsty thing. I still have upsets every now and then, but it's life. Life goes up and down. There's not a kind of weird checkout thing that you do with it. You're just present with the ups and downs of life in general, but really pushing the edge of like, could I ask for more? Could I expand more? Is there more that's being asked of me to gift to the world? There's so many people who are amazing creators and innovators, and really the people who see things from a different perspective, they're the change agents in the world. And so if you can start to build that and foster that, I just believe there's a bigger, bigger conversation and game changer that we can all do together.
Oh, that is so lovely. How beautiful. I know people are going to want to connect with you and tap into even more of your wisdom. Is there a place that they can do that? Do you have a website?
I do. It's Lauren Polly, and that's with a P, POLLY.com. And all of my information up there, my workshops, my classes, my one-to-one sessions, and I have just launched a beautiful 30 Days to a Quiet Mind program. And that's really going to be looking at how can you acknowledge you, your awareness of the world, and find yourself and that calm and that ease and that relaxed state for you to be able to then move into the world for greater possibilities. That's kicking off in the mid-October timeframe. So if you go ahead and look at my website, you can jump into that. But yeah, lots of different possibilities coming down the pike, and my workshops and everything's up there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you so much for your generosity and sharing with us today and sharing all of this wonderful knowledge and experience with the world, both in your book as well as all of the wonderful classes and ways that you deliver this great information.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.